You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 135, and we're about to troll you with the episode, We Will Not Be Trolled.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. My name is Chelsea Robson, and today I am joined by some of my favorite people. These are special guest hosts. We have Rachel Wagner and Chad Lewis. Say hello, everybody.
What's up?
Hi.
So today, normally we do have Mason and Morgan joining us, but they are off for personal reasons for basically the next month. Congratulations to Morgan Stradling for just having a new baby boy, baby Graham.
Yay.
Yay.
Little animation addict in the making.
Seriously. So the Animation Addicts Podcast, for anybody that is new, this is what we are. Basically, we're just friends. We get together and we talk about an animated movie that's either past or present. And we like just gab and go off on random tangents if you're super lucky. And we just have a grand old time. So we love to be able to invite all of you to join with us. And today we are talking about DreamWorks Trolls.
We will be trolling you today to the maximum.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric wavy when I turn it on.
And if you want it inside your soul, just open up your heart, let music take control. I got that.
Speaking of trolls. Oh, this has been one of the hardest episodes for me to record. First off, we're super late in doing it. And second off, we tried to record last week as well, but then in the middle of the call, like we had just gotten started, we're going, I'm having a good old time. And all of a sudden my internet drops and I'm like, what happened? I walk outside and there is a truck and they're just like pounding away at some light poles and power poles. And I'm like, no.
You got trolled.
I yeah. got trolled.
They have us out for this movie. They don't want us to talk about it.
DreamWorks is out there. No, they're not going to give 100% total positive outstanding reviews.
Yeah.
Get them.
We're not going to be that mean.
We're not, though. That's the thing. In general, I myself have good things to say about this movie, and I have heard really great things about this movie from other people as well. How about you guys?
So I actually now seen it twice. Maybe their strategy paid off because I feel a little bit more positive about it today than I did on Sunday because now I've seen it twice. So
yeah, I mean,
yay.
To me, it was very uneven, but I still, on the whole, walked out of it feeling positive.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I have a couple of nitpicks towards it, but generally, I feel like it's a pretty inoffensive movie. I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
Yeah, the thing that I liked about this movie is the fact that DreamWorks really did what they came to do. I found a lot of the movies lately haven't really known who their audience was. I mean, you look at somebody like Angry Birds. Angry Birds was, it could have been really great for kids. It could have had really great things going for it, but they tried to toe the line too much. And I felt like it was not very focused on their audience, but I felt like Trolls was very focused in giving just a good all around, family film.
Certainly.
Yeah. They did a good job making a movie that is for kids. Yes, adults can go and have an okay time and enjoy it, but it's really made for kids. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think every movie should have to be for everybody.
Even more specific than kids, it almost felt like it was like a very like teen kind of movie with the just like Anna Kendrick kind of vibes, just very pitch perfect kind of vibe to it. It almost seemed like to that degree of specificity almost where I was like, yeah, this movie does know what it wants to be.
See, that's interesting because I would have said it was really going for the kindergarten crowd because it just the colors and the happiness and just the messaging and just all that stuff felt very preschool, kindergarten kind of to me.
See, I wouldn't have put it in the preschool kindergarten. I think it was more of like a, I felt like they were talking to more of a, like you were saying, Chad, more of a, like a teen audience, but a teen audience that still likes their childhood.
They're not all jaded and grumpy and brooding.
I can see that.
Exactly.
Not yet.
Yeah. So a little bit of general information about this movie. This was put out by DreamWorks, and the directors were Mike Mitchell and Walt Dahm. It was released date on November 4th, 2016, and the budget was $125 million. And in the box office, as of about last week or so, it made it up to $262.4 million. So already they have done, and they haven't even gone total global on this. So that is amazing. Really great numbers. Once they hit all the other countries, it's going to like skyrocket even more. So to already come back is great for DreamWorks. Huge win, especially for some of the other movies that didn't quite make the jump that they were really hoping for.
Yeah, they have to be thrilled with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus the merchandising of this film is going to be very strong. It's strong. And the music, of course, too. I mean, it's just a big win, I think, for them. So this is an interesting thing I have been thinking about with this movie. And I feel like this year we've gotten a number of movies that kind of focus on emotions and dealing with helping kids learn to sort of deal with their emotions. And I just thought it would be interesting to talk about the way that each of the movies handle it. So you have Inside Out that, you know, is telling us that we need sadness, we need anger, we need all of these emotions to be happy, have joy. And then you had Angry Birds, which I actually thought the message of that was kind of weird, that you actually needed anger, that anger was somehow in a way better because the happy people were gullible and sort of stupid, which was strange. And then in here you have this idea that happiness is sort of better and that you need to not be sad and be happy instead. But I have to say, in watching it a second time, I did notice one line that really stuck out to me that I hadn't noticed before. And I actually wrote it down, that Poppy says, Branch says something like, don't you ever feel sad or something like that? And she says, I know life isn't cupcakes and rainbows, but I'd rather go through life thinking that it mostly is.
I like that.
Ignorance is bliss kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, and I have to say, I feel like I kind of live that way. I mean, I know that things aren't cupcakes and rainbows, but I'd rather be optimistic than be cynical.
Right.
So, I don't know, that kind of made me just, like I said, I watched it this time, and that was sort of the nugget I took out that I hadn't noticed the first time, because I was like, oh, all they're doing is just telling kids to bottle up their emotion and just be happy all the time. But that line kind of made me sort of ponder it a little bit more, maybe what they were trying to say.
If you guys haven't seen the movie, I don't know why you're listening to this, but I'll go ahead and give you a basic overview. So basically these trolls are always happy because they dance and they hug and they scrapbook. And then the Berg are, you know, the epitome of the antagonistic of, or they are the total opposite of them. They are never happy, except on the one day a year where they get to eat a troll. And all of their happiness from that troll is then transferred to the Berg for a joyful but fleeting moment. And basically the whole story is these trolls have escaped. And now there was this, the crazy cook lady. She's trying to be vindicated. Nobody really cares about her name. She's trying to be vindicated because she was sent away because she ended up losing all the trolls. And so now she wants to get back into the kingdom of the Berg by bringing all the trolls back and making them eat them so that she can once again be the cook that she was meant to be. And then you have Princess Poppy, who is, you know, the one who's basically taking over and played by Anna Kendrick. And then Justin Timberlake plays Branch, who is the drab troll that is all gray and you don't really know why until later on in the story. See, what was interesting for me is, like, I was sitting in this And I'm watching as the story is unfolding, you know, quite literally as the pages are turning of the scrapbook. And one of the things that it was just, I'm like, okay, they're building it up. How, you know, you've got the Berg and they're always sad, and you got the trolls and they're always happy because they sing and dance and hug and everything is all better. And it's like, as it's going through, I'm like, I can agree with that. Mm-hmm. You know, singing, dancing, hugging makes me happy. So, you know, have that, but it was just really funny how there was one part where the main Berg, the prince, yeah, or king,
Gristle, right?
King Gristle. Okay.
Right. King, so McLovin.
He's like, he goes up to his dad and his dad's like, "Dad, is there any other way to be happy?" And the dad's like, "No. No, there is not." As far as how he can't eat a troll, and so therefore it will never be happy. And he's like, "Now I'll never be happy, mm-hmm, ever." And then this kid who was sitting behind me in the screening, he's like, "You were happy this morning." I was like,
"Exactly."
Thanks, kid behind the seat behind me. You're right. He was happy this morning.
Yeah, I kind of, on the emotional front, I almost kind of enjoyed the journey of him more than the journey of Branch, because both of them kind of start out very set in some kind of a way, and through the movie learn to be another kind of way. But I really, unfortunately, the solving of the movie with the simplicity of like starting one song and then everything was kind of solved there. With the exception of that, I actually really liked the journey of the Bergen kind of like understanding that there's more than just one way to be happy or to make themselves happy. Like whatever it was that they liked to do would make them happy. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing. So you kind of had two groups of characters that developed through it and coming from different sides of the emotional spectrum. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like almost a nursery rhyme in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Goldilocks, like that kind of a story, you know.
I really loved the imagery and just all of the animation through it. I felt like there was a lot of fun, like textures, and I just am so in awe every time that anything they get so real through this animation style.
Yeah.
It's just blows my mind.
I've in my reviews over the years and just in general, I've felt very like bored with this very like, I always think back to the people in the Lorax for some whatever reason. I just think of like these plasticky looking people, and so I'm always super refreshed whenever characters have like any kind of different look, like literally almost anything. Like, so yeah, like the way that the trolls looked, like they were like kind of made out of fabrics, and that cloud guy who was in the movie all too briefly.
Uh-huh.
I love the way that like cotton looked on him. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
So like, I appreciated the texture experiments because, oh boy, it's really getting into I was watching the Boss Baby trailer, and it's just got that same look, these people, and they just, ooh, have this plasticky like dead look on their face. It's just like, that's something.
The Boss Baby trailer fills me with unending rage. I hate that trailer so much, but yeah, I totally agree. I loved the felt kind of feel to it, and the textures. I thought that was good. There were a couple parts that I thought were sort of shockingly poorly rendered, though. Like particularly the, you know, that kind of crocodile looking creature when he was chasing after them, I thought that looked really poor, and I don't know, I was just like, wow, this looks like a Tinkerbell movie all of a sudden.
Oh yeah, it's a slippery slope to get to that straight to DVD sort of vibe, the Barbie movies.
Yeah. It was just moments here and there where I was like, wow, they really stopped trying on just that moment, but for the most part I really really liked the animation in it. I thought it was really fun. Kind of a Lisa Frank feel. Sort of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Lisa Frank.
Uh-huh. If you don't know who Lisa Frank is, then you probably also don't know what the troll dolls even are to begin with.
Yeah, you really don't. And you won't be upset, or at least as upset as I was, the fact that these trolls did not have jewels in their bellies.
Right.
I was like, what the heck? Where in the world did the jewels go?
But that was probably my favorite part of the movie, right at the beginning, when they do the little staged escape. and the mm-hmm. Bergens shake the tree, and the little stand-ins that fall out of the tree are like the original troll dolls. That was a great touch. I love that. Because I was kind of annoyed too. I'm like, why don't the trolls look? I'm like being my 80s kid self. I'm like, why don't the trolls look like the dolls? But no, they were cute. I was happy they at least put a reference in.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that too.
So what did we think about the individual characters? So as far as we've got Branch and Poppy were the main characters. The king, the one that farts glitter. You got Cooper, which is the long neck guy who poops out cupcakes.
The movie, you're reading through, you can super tell that like it wanted those side characters to be like memorable, but something just didn't work with a lot of them. I mean, not to say they weren't funny. Like, it's funny when some guy poops out cupcakes to an extent, but I didn't even know his name was Cooper. And I also saw in the credits that like the guy who was the auto-tune troll, which was very strange as well, just to even have that, but was voiced by Kunal Nair, like the guy from Big Bang Theory. I was like, wow, why even bother hiring him if you're just going to like have him say two lines in auto-tune? It's very weird.
Yeah.
The supporting characters were a little iffy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go through, you have Gwen Stefani as one of them. They paid a high price for some of these names.
Yeah.
And I feel like you must have just purchased for the name.
Right. Just so they could show him dancing in the Justin Timberlake music video.
I thought the trailer was so obnoxious, the way that it had, instead of telling us about the movie, they have Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick on there saying, hi, we're here, you know, and I'm just like, oh.
They've done that before. I've seen other movies where they just have like one voice character. Hi. You know, namely, I'm thinking of The Wreck-It Ralph when they had John C. Reilly, mm-hmm. like the first, you know, he gives his first taste of this or whatever. The one that I didn't like and that nobody liked was
the teaser.
It was like maybe like six. Yeah, it was the teaser trailer. And everyone at the studio was tweeting about it, just like, do not judge this
what
movie
was it? I
based
can't remember.
On that.
It was the twerking that everyone hated. It was just like the trolls dancing.
Doesn't sound great.
No, it wasn't very good.
It wasn't, but the thing that I remember most is how everybody at the studio was tweeting about it, and they were just like, do not judge it for that. We told them not to go with that one.
Oh,
bummer. I was like, oh.
There was a character that for me was a total miss. I did not like the voice. I didn't like, to me, it was Bridget. I didn't like the way that she looked. I didn't think that Zooey Deschanel was good in the part. And, I don't know. I didn't even like her character. I thought that it really started to lose momentum for me when it gets onto this sort of My Fair Lady kind of Cyrano de Bergerac kind of second half, where they're trying to teach Bridget how to be.
It's like a whole other movie just gets injected in
really
randomly
is.
In the middle.
Yeah, and I don't know. I didn't like anything about her.
I felt like they could have, in order to make it not seem like an entirely different movie, had her more toward the beginning somewhere, as far as like have some type of an actual part at the beginning of the movie, as opposed to toward the end. Because, it really did feel like it was an entirely different subplot that became the main plot that we forgot what's the plot.
And tell me if this makes sense to you guys. This is kind of like a nitpick, and I wish that I didn't do this with movies, but tell me if this makes sense to you guys. So, like, you get this first scene where you meet the Bergen, right? And they're like super drab. And like one woman's like cutting her flowers off. And like one guy's like burying himself in his own grave. And that was like all great. I'm like, oh, I love the vibe of this. But then it's like, why do these guys have like a roller rink and arcades and stuff? That's like totally not what it made no sense to me. But I don't know if that's like a weird nitpick, but I was like, that seems like a lot of fun to be having for these guys.
No, I completely agree. And they just don't understand what the word happiness actually means. They just need like a definition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But also, I don't know. I just feel like they should have had Bridget sort of smile a little bit more, or made her feel like some way to kind of endear you to the character so that you kind of like they did say in Inside Out with Riley. Cause like there's a point where Riley is very sort of flat because she doesn't have those emotions, but we don't mm-hmm. mind that because we've seen her smile. We've seen her play hockey with her, you know, with her parents, uh-huh. we've seen her, you know, be cheerful. And so there's a little bit more of sort of a, I don't know, you're just sort of more with the character. And I don't know. I thought she was a miss.
Mm-hmm.
That would have helped.
I didn't feel like she was entirely a miss. I loved Zooey Deschanel, and I think her voice, she does great whenever she sings, and just her voice and speaking in general, I just really like. Mm. So there wasn't a lot that I didn't like about that. It was just the fact that it was the plot was kind of tired. So one part when we meet Branch, though, I kind of really like him. And I think Justin Timberlake did a really good job.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I felt like I totally believe that character. And even just the going back and forth between Anna Kendrick and Justin, I felt was really good banter.
Yeah.
So.
And I love that as somebody who I used to get super into, like, all of the Doomsday Prepper shows and stuff like that, like people, you know, stockpiling all these supplies and everything. So that felt super right to me. And he did a great job with that. I thought that was really funny. And I get super annoyed too. Like, you know, in Shrek, when like all the people start occupying his swamp, I'm just like, oh my God, please get out. Like, it starts to stress me out. Like when all the trolls go down and start messing with his stuff, I'm like, please get out of his bunker. I'm mad.
I had one of those more moments where I'm just like, I feel the responsibility to help somebody, but their sheer lack of respect for my own preparation just left me as bitter for Branch. I was like, gosh, I would have helped you.
The only thing that I would have done different as far as Branch is I wish they hadn't made them a couple in the end. I think that it would have been better if they had just been friends. And I mean, because I don't know, I thought that was a little...
Yeah.
Forced.
They didn't have enough time. Like the scene where JT is like giving Bridget the advice from out from under her hair, and you start to get the sense that maybe he's talking about Poppy. It's like that seemed to come out like super out of nowhere to me. I was like, oh,
yes.
Okay. I mean, I didn't have any romantic feelings about the two of them before, but now it seems pretty clear. Just kind of popped in there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time to throw this in.
It's time to throw this in because we got to get a love song in there. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Which takes me to my next point. The songs. They were both original and covers.
But mostly covers.
How do we think they worked? Mostly covers, yes. Yeah.
That was my biggest drawback to the movie. And having seen Moana, it just reminds me further like how like powerful it can be to have like a suite of original songs that belong only to your movie. Like, and especially since Trolls did have like a couple of cool original songs, mostly one, I would say. It just makes me think like, I wish they would have done that. Poison.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I felt like the songs were there to sort of pad out the runtime. Honestly, some of them were, it was just like, mm-hmm. why are we singing here? And a lot of the songs, they felt like they were just so brief and so short that it just felt like mm-hmm. it wasn't doing anything. A few of the covers I didn't mind as much because it was actually sort of continuing the plot a little bit. Mm-hmm. Whereas others, it was like, oh, I just said the word silence. I'm going to sing this song now, you mm-hmm. know? And so that's just kind of like, okay, I'm just bored at this point with this song. And I mean, they were all sung pretty well for the most part.
I had no problems with the singing of the songs. I had a problem with, like, the very first song, for example. It's the opening dance party song, a.k.a. This is a musical opening.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was super odd. And from the very beginning, I just felt like, this is a square peg in a round hole. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this was supposed to transition, but it didn't. But then there were others where I was like, okay, I get that, and I'm good with this. So like the I will get back up again song, where she's like on her road trip, leaving out, and mm-hmm. like that was an original, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's the vibe that they should have pursued.
I agree. Like the one that annoyed me personally, the True Colors one was pretty bad, but also I thought the Sound of Silence one, that was the one that was just like
yeah, that was the most shoehorned one.
Yeah, but I like the song, so I'll forgive
it.
Yeah,
I like the songs. Like, I can listen to the Trolls soundtrack like right now and actually really enjoy it. But the way that they played along with the movie is where the problem comes for me. Like, I love listening to like Anna Kendrick or Justin Timberlake singing. Like, they're great. But I just wish it was like an original musical. But that's what I have Moana for. Yay.
Yay.
This is kind of harsh, but this is just like what I really feel like happened. I feel like it's like some older, like boardroom kind of people saying like, Glee's still cool, right? And like Pitch Perfect's cool. So let's just do like cover mashups and put them in the in here. I think JT actually like supervised the production of like the entire thing, even beyond his own like contributions with whatchamacallit.
I
feel like he or maybe someone else was like, what if we did like an original song or two or three? And they're like, you get one.
They are not tried and true. We must stick with what works.
But you can't deny, you cannot deny. There's simply no denying the power of Can't Stop the Feeling. Like, even when it starts playing, you're like, yeah. Like, that song's just good. Like, in the movie or out of it. And that last scene, you couldn't help but kind of tap your foot.
Yeah, I'll go along with that for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's an awesome song. But the other thing, too, is that Poppy is kind of stupid at the beginning of this movie. And, you know, the loud singing and everything is just kind of like, it sort of adds kind of fuel to that. And even when they get like captured, like who's gonna start singing Celebrate when you're captured? You know, like that makes no sense. It would have been maybe funnier if they'd sung some like solemn sad song then, but like I don't know, it just made them kind of stupid. Like, singing is not, does not solve all of life's problems.
I don't know, have you tried? I mean, it's come pretty close for me many times. I really wish that my life were a music video. I honestly do. It would make so much more sense, every little bit of it.
If only.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. The music was very hit and miss to me, but there were some nice moments.
Yeah, I mean, to its credit, it was, you know, the music was very like well produced. Like, it sounded great. Like, even if you're not a fan of, like, the actual song that's being sung, I think JT did a pretty good job of producing the songs and getting them to sound nice and hip.
Can we just go off on how much we love Justin Timberlake for a second?
It just bumps me out because he's, like, one of, like, America's greatest talents. And I want to see him, like, do, like, what Lin-Manuel just did for Disney, where they're just like, yeah, we're hiring Justin Timberlake and he's going to write, like, awesome songs. But instead, I feel like they pushed him a little bit, but someday.
Yeah, I can see that. I just watched one of his Justin Timberlake and then Tennessee Kids on Netflix. Whew.
Oh, what's that?
It's his concert that he did of 2020. Oh. And it basically just go through for like an hour and a half of just him singing amazing, awesome songs with an amazing, awesome band that just is like, wow, I really like this. So you should totally check it out. On Netflix. But he's one of those, just that talent that, I mean, I'll be honest, I grew up with the guy. I remember I was in fifth grade when NSYNC came out and everyone was just like, oh my gosh, who is your favorite? Lance Bass. No, Justin Timberlake for sure.
Chelsea, don't act like you weren't all about JC Chazet.
Actually, JC, I did appreciate him. He was pretty well.
I was more Backstreet Boys myself.
Ah, you're
say.
Backstreet. I don't know if we can be friends.
You don't see Nick Carter out there making a movie for DreamWorks, do you?
Exactly. He's actually Nick is totally out there. He's just a voice actor for everything.
Oh,
okay.
You look on his IMDb, he's on everything now.
I feel like what they really did is they were like, you know, that Happy song was a big hit.
Right.
Let's
exactly.
get, you know, Pharrell Williams did for Despicable Me 2. Let's get Justin Timberlake to do the same thing with Trolls.
Except the same thing is happening, which is no one walking the face of the planet Earth knows that Happy is from Despicable Me, except for like people that really care about animated movies. Like,
it's true.
If I ask my mom about that song, I guarantee she doesn't know. She's just like, yeah, I love that song. Like, nobody's going to know in like a year Can't Stop the Feeling is from this movie. They're going to think the movie put that song into it. They're like, let's use that song.
Right.
I think a lot of people already think that. I do.
Oh, trolls.
They don't realize. Yeah. Interesting.
What that movie would have been like if he would have totally had 100% creative licensing like Lin-Manuel did. And like in Frozen, I'm just like totally.
Yeah, you just give the person the power
awesome.
And they just make the songs.
I don't know if I'm willing to, because Lin-Manuel has experience as a storyteller.
It's true.
Justin Timberlake doesn't.
Very different creating a well-written Broadway play.
That right,
one, holy mackerel. Those go through years of production, but so do animated movies. You know, so it's all about creating the final product, but not to say that I don't think he could have done it. I think if they would have tied him up with somebody else that's really big on like Broadway or something, that would have been awesome.
But just think you've got like Elton John and Phil Collins who both did great jobs and aren't necessarily, you know, theater guys per se. I think I'd give him a shot for sure.
In fairness, Lin-Manuel wasn't alone. I mean,
he had the
Samoan composer and the, and Mark Mancina also. Mm-hmm. So
it's all a team.
My hope is that, because to me, this is like DreamWorks being like, hey, is it cool if we make musicals too? Like, and not just Disney, and people being like, yeah, I think we could be okay with it. And now that the movie's successful, I'm hoping that this will be like a foot in the door for them to sort of immerse themselves into it.
That was the other thing that was going through my head. So through all of these songs that were like some of them good, some of them not, the thing that kept going through my head was this is the movie we got instead of the musical that they were going to have with Stephen Schwartz. They're
going to
have Mumbai musical. And they ended up cutting it because it wasn't as they wanted to stick with things that were more,
you know, that brand
marketable.
Recognition, yo.
Yeah. And but they cut out Stephen Schwartz. Oh,
that makes me so sad.
Do you know who Stephen Schwartz is?
Yeah, like Wicked and other
and like hair? Every other amazing
Prince of Egypt.
He did Prince of Egypt, yes. I mean, there's so many amazing things that he's done, and they had him. It was going.
Yeah.
And Mason was telling me not too long ago, he said that he saw some of the old artwork that they were thinking about using, you know, as far as exploratory artwork to go into that movie. And he was ticked. He was just like, whoever did that deserves hatred forever.
Was there a premise or was he was attached to a project?
He was attached to the project. I don't know for sure what the premise was. It was just going to be like a Bollywood film. And I heard, it was going to be a lot of like monkeys that were involved. So I don't know what the story would have been, but I do know that it would have been a Bollywood movie with that type of music and Stephen Schwartz. And I would have been fully on board. And instead we got trolls.
DreamWorks just really bums me out because I don't like most of their comedies. I feel more positive about this than I have about most of them. I did really like Mr. Peabody and Sherman, but other than that, they don't make me laugh that much. And it's just frustrating when you know that the studio has potential to make a Rise of the Guardians, to make a, you know, the dragon movies, to make a Prince of Egypt, a Spirit, you know, these beautiful, like epic films that have comedic moments. And then you see them make something like Home or, you know, just these comedies that are just not. And, you know, we got Boss Baby and Captain Underpants coming up. And when I hear something like that, I'm just like, it just makes me sad.
I mean, I understand. I get it. It is a business. And without, you know, name recognition and playing those cards that they have, I mean, they have so many projects that they could do that have a huge ability to make a lot of money just based on the fact that they were something big years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I don't know. I think I agree with you, Rachel, and the fact that I really like DreamWorks when they go drama. And I feel like it just adds a whole... But in general, I like the drama. And I think that might be just the fact that maybe as we get older, we just like the drama, or we appreciate that type of drama when it is combined with animation, because we're looking for something that reminds us of our childhood, but at the same time pushes us to, like, we're adults and we want to still have both, you know, have our cake and eat it too.
Yeah. I mean, there's some, that's probably fair, but I don't know. It's just like you cancel Croods 2 and you take Boss Baby and Captain Underpants. I'll never understand that as long as I live.
Here's the thing though. Captain Underpants, I did one video of this 3 years ago. And I still, every week, I'll get 2 or 3 comments on that video.
Really?
Yeah. And they're all people saying, because in the video, I was like, hey, I don't know. Have you read the books? Have you not read the books? Are you excited about it? Tell me what you guys think. And in the comments, I get everybody who's always said, I've read them and I can't wait. I've read them and I can't wait. And it's just amazing. Like that one, it's...
I've read them and I can wait.
I just think it's so interesting because, like I said, that video was 3 years ago and it still has as much traffic as it ever did. And when we first posted anything about it on the website, it crashed our website. So I'm not saying that it's a bad deal.
I mean,
like
it's
a big deal.
I mean, I don't know what you guys experience with those books, but for me, like, those were like my jam as a kid. Like I had every single Captain Underpants thing. And to me, I just have that exact opposite reaction of saying, don't do this. But, you know, it'll be an interesting one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot that's going to have a ton of heat on it. Cause people like right around my age are going to, I feel like it was more for little boys.
I never was into it, I'll be honest. I feel like I never read it. I never had any draw. I
never even heard
of it.
It's
going to incur a lot of flames if it's not good. I can say that right now.
Incur many flames. Poison darts heading straight for people's, you know, eyes through the television. No. Riots coming out with kids with their underwear on their heads.
I love a good comedy, though, animated comedy. Like, I'm very excited for the Lego Batman. I think it looks hilarious. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That'll be...
I don't know. It's just frustrating for me where they've gone. But
and to me, it almost seems like I find myself laughing more when it comes to animated movies. Like, I could laugh more during, like, How to Train Your Dragon than during, like, a predetermined comedy movie, you know? Because, like, the funny moments... Yeah. Are better when the characters go through like some dramatic things too,
it's
you know?
True. Yeah.
So even when DreamWorks tries to just give you like a straight up comedy, it tends to be just like very hammy sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like I thought Finding Dory was hilarious. I really laughed, especially the ending. I thought it was really funny.
I mean, that's the thing is Pixar, they've done a good job at taking you through all of the emotions. As Inside Out has proven. But in general, they've all tried to take the audience on a ride to the highs and the lows, the fast and the slows.
The fast like they try and to the put furious.
Exactly. They try to put it all in there. And they've really done a good job of creating that team. And I honestly don't think that any movie should be seen as a comedy. I think things should be seen as a story and they should have all elements tied in there. Now it's okay if they happens to fall more on the comedic side, but I feel like you still have to have connection with the characters. You still have to think, I care what happens to this character.
Here's an interesting thought about Trolls though. Do you think that it's in a way kind of promotes a certain degree of sort of groupthink? That everybody has to kind of be the same and enjoy the same things and enjoy the same activities and be this, even have the same emotions. That
it's getting dark.
Know. You see, overthinking it totally. But I don't know.
Hey, why this is the internet. Overthinking is what we do.
Oh. Yes.
No, but you're totally, you're that, I'd 100% agree with it. Like, if you go to, if you dig down to that level, it's totally like what the movie is like. You be, we can all be happy and we all should.
Yes.
Join
but
us.
Even more than that, you know, that we all have to be like the same coloring, we all have to do the same, we have to like the same things, we have to do the same things, we have to,
speaking of all know. Being the same, did it bother anybody else that just the one guy with his had like four legs and a long giraffe neck?
Yes, it's like, who it is, did bother
why is
me.
This guy like a special guy?
Where did he come
like,
from?
Like, some of the trolls were big and some were sparkly and some were small and some had different hair, but one guy is like a completely different thing.
He's a horse.
Yeah, well, and the poor trolls that are conjoined. You had to feel bad for them.
Oh, yeah, the conjoined hair trolls. But they were still troll-ish. Yeah. The one guy was like a completely different creature. I thought that was so what, random.
With like a monkey
was
head.
The weird little worm, like, what was that? Was that just like a pet?
That was, you know, the, I know that, I know what he was. That was a vehicle to deliver supposed popular teenage dialogue such as "Oh snap" and "YOLO."
Yes, he was. He that was his sole purpose in this movie.
If anyone is listening to this who writes for these movies, stop putting in trendy things snap. Like "Oh snap" and "YOLO" and things like just stop.
4 years ago is when, like, I feel like "YOLO" was there and then
it's gone
just as fast and. I feel like, yeah, those are hard to come back from.
Well, and that is the hard part about animation, as opposed to other forms of movies, that things that were kind of cool and hip, by the time you're 4 years or done making your movie, aren't hip anymore. I thought about that with the Nut Job. You know, they had the Gangnam style dance at the end, and you're just that was gone by the time they came out.
Right, and it's like when they start making it, it was cool. But the process of animation is so long that it's gone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got to really, really be willing to date your movie if you're putting something like that in.
And so many are lately.
Uh-huh.
Like, almost every movie this year has, like, a very, very, like, quote-unquote modern joke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which even is, Moana had one.
I know. That was, like, the only problem I had with it. You know, see, like, Beauty and the Beast making jokes about, like, making like weird period jokes of whatever was funny at that time. Like, it's like, it'd be like putting a MySpace joke in like Toy Story. It'd just be weird. Like,
No.
Yeah, no, that's really true. The worst offender of that this year was the Ice Age movie.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
But they're so completely many. Like beyond the point of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We actually got an anonymous voicemail from somebody who worked at the studio who said that they had a full meeting about should they do another Ice Age, and everybody said no.
You mean beyond like the one that released, or
before after, because what did they just do, number five?
This is five.
Okay, yeah. So after four they did a meeting where they brought everybody together, should we do another Ice Age? Everybody said no. 2 weeks later the board comes back, so we're doing another Ice Age. And he was just like, what? You basically just brought us in here to tell us, we don't care what you say.
Well, like, this last one made over $400 million worldwide, so it's tough to argue with that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a lot of money.
Money speaks.
I mean, the Peanuts movie made $262. I mean, so Ice Age 5 made almost double.
Oh, that's sad. Peanuts was good.
I know.
People love those characters. They just want to see them go and fart and put their butts up to the camera. And
well, there is something to say with I know what I'm getting myself into. I laughed before. I'll probably laugh again. Above all else, don't suck. As long as they don't suck, you know, they're going to make their money back.
Yeah. I mean, people forget that this is a business. I mean, if you're Ice Age, you're going to look at 262, you're going to look at 400 and, you know, $20 million. Like,
the thing that I wonder, know. Like, coming back to trolls and DreamWorks, is like, you'd think companies would take one look at Frozen and just see the way, like, it's making so much money even now just off of merchandise, that they would think, why don't we try to make like I just tend to be like always lobby for like more musicals and stuff because I just love animated musicals. But
me too.
I wonder why more companies don't even try it. They're just like, let's just do Ice Age 17 and let's just do Minions 15. I don't know.
Well, okay, let's drive back to the 90s for a second when the animated musical was something that everybody was trying to do.
Good times, good times.
They were good times. Man, they were good times. I feel so sad for the 2000s kids. They just don't understand.
Yeah.
Or even kids that were born in the 90s. It's like, you just don't understand.
Yeah.
For example, you had like amazing gems, like the Swan Princess coming out. You know, it's like, yes, mm-hmm. They're fun. They had all of these underrated. Yes. All of these random studios that were just popping out because Disney was... they were having a hard time, and it was right after, you know, they just had a whole bunch of people that were like, no, we're all going to follow this same thing. And I just feel like maybe everybody that came out of that after that, once Pixar came in, it was like, no more musicals, stay out. And it was just really like a dry spell as far as good musicals come. And I think everybody was just like, I want to be the next Pixar. And Disney was trying to do the same thing too.
Then Tangled.
So
it's true. I mean, I hadn't seen or been excited about Disney for a long time back in the day. And I didn't even want to go see Tangled. And my sisters were like, I want to go. Please take me. Please take me. And so I was like, okay. And so I went and I was just blown away. It was like, oh.
It's like you're back.
Yay.
You're right back with Alan Menken. It's like you're back you're back to it. I love that.
Yeah. I know. It is an interesting question of why there wasn't more Frozen kind of copycats. I've never really thought about that, you know, you really got a lot of the Despicable Me copycats, but not as much of the Frozen.
Yeah. And every movie now wants to put in some kind of cute little thing that will be their minions.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like every movie has like, these are our little cute guys that you can buy little stuffed animals of now.
Yeah.
Yep,
Minions is definitely the thing.
I'm hoping that the fact that this movie is still doing very well, and I'm hoping that DreamWorks says, "Hey, what about that old Stephen Schwartz number that we were gonna do?" I hope that they do something like that. Even if they don't do the Mumbai musical, if they come and they come back and they say we're gonna do this too, I would love to see that again.
You know, one thing that I don't think that Disney, even in the darkest of days. There are very few examples of Disney not being willing to take risks. And I think that maybe is one thing that the other studios just aren't quite there in being able to take risks. There are very few examples of Disney complete cash grabs, like a Home on the Range or something like that. But even something like Chicken Little, that was kind of a disaster. It was still actually kind of, they were taking risks and they were trying new things and whatever. And so I think that is maybe part of the reason why, that nobody's just going to take that risk of making a Frozen or making a...
Did you say Home on the Range as a cash grab? I don't know don't know much about the production of that movie, but I'm curious.
it's so lazy. That movie is
that movie is
so
truly
lazy.
An affront to the human race.
Maybe cash grab isn't the right word, but it was just so lazy in the writing and I think in all aspects, it's I think really terrible.
Yeah, that movie is it's one of those movies that's just shocking to watch.
Hey, yeah, it's got yodeling. I appreciated that.
That is true. That was is that Randy Quaid? Risk.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, you just sit there and think.
If you're listening to this and you haven't seen that movie, don't. Don't let this inspire you to watch it. It's not that so bad, it's good kind of thing.
No. It's really...
I like the music to it, though. I mean, but then again, that's my like background, the cowboy music stuff. So I appreciated that and a lot of the singers off of that.
You deserve a better like country
I do deserve
music
a better
thing
country.
Than that.
I do deserve a better one. I do.
Yeah.
But I still appreciated the certain things of it. Yeah.
But... I don't know. I think that might be sort of the reason, though, that there's just very, even going back to the early days of Disney, when you're talking, you know, the risks that Walt was willing to take on project after project after project. And it's just something, even in their disasters, like a Black Cauldron, took tons of risks. Mm-hmm. And so I as far as the box office disasters. I don't know.
That's the problem, is Disney still, they have enough money in the vaults, literally in the Disney vault, to be able to make those risks. All of these are every one, even DreamWorks, which has been around the longest, you know, they have to turn a profit. And if they don't, then they're going to be missing out. And so Disney itself has to turn a profit, but they still have other things, other things that are going to keep them afloat, as opposed to these other studios that don't have as much to go off of. The one that I have, the Laika, is probably the only one that really still, and I think as long as they should and can, or as long as they can, they should take risks.
Yeah.
I think they will. I think they'll keep doing weird stuff. Which is awesome.
Well, they also aren't public company. And so it's just privately owned company. And so they still have all of the money to back it. So thank you, Nike.
Yay. I think also, I mean, to give DreamWorks a little bit of credit, a lot of the risks that they did take haven't really paid off at the box office. And so they're probably less inclined to take risks.
Yeah.
Something like Rise of the Guardians, which I love that movie so much. And it didn't do that well for them. Or, something like Spirit or something.
I feel like DreamWorks thinks that Trolls is a risk. Like Kung Fu Panda was there, like, okay, we know this is going to be gangbusters, and this weird Trolls movie. Because at some extent, I kind of feel like it's a brand recognition thing. Trolls, Troll Dolls, yeah, everybody. But then I think a second time, I'm like, wait, nobody cares about Troll Dolls or even remembers them that much. I feel like they think that this was their risk, and in a way that this might actually be a good forward movement point for them. For the Boss Baby Renaissance.
Out of all this conversation, what are the main things that we've taken from it? You know, Justin Timberlake needs to make his own musical. And as far as like the ending, how did we like the ending?
I think they needed like 15 more minutes.
Really?
I thought it was super rushed. Because like literally, not exaggerating, within a span of I think like 20 seconds, the trolls or the Bergens are literally like knife in hand ready to eat, like cannibalize these guys, and then like literally seconds later are singing. I feel like just to simply play that JT song, just bloop, now we're good now. I feel like I just wanted, and I understand like they need to keep these things moving along, but I feel like it just needed a little bit more just to like get you to be like, okay, I can believe that now they're changing their minds. Seemed so sudden, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, they were really lucky, those trolls, that the chef never actually wanted to cook anything.
Right.
She's like the worst chef ever.
I think, like, what I was craving is, like, you put in, like, this troll named Bob or something, and early on in the movie, he's like, all right, I love to play ping pong. And then some other troll's like, no. Like, and he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then later on at the end, he's like, he can finally do the thing he likes to do, and that makes him happy. Or something like, you know, obviously that's very rudimentary, but something along those lines. So it's not all of a sudden every troll in the world is, or every Bergen is happy.
Is now
happy
joining the Borg.
Yeah. It'd be like kind of like in, made me think of High School Musical.
Right.
When they're all like,
exactly.
I'm a secret. Cupcake maker.
That's exactly 100% what I meant.
I love how we just, you know, came to a conclusion on High School Musical. Oh, Grant.
Yeah, I agree. I also thought, can we talk for a second about True Colors? What do you guys think of that scene?
True Colors. I felt like they did a good job themselves.
Right.
I felt like that. I didn't have any one way or the other, honestly. It was like pursuing or pushing the, now we're in love.
Yeah.
I mean, yay.
I kind of agree. I personally really enjoyed, I think that the song may have just been a delivery vehicle for this thing, but where they had the hug alarms, which are kind of happening all throughout the movie.
Uh-huh.
And then to open the song, the hug alarms are part of the song, like the little marimba opening thing or whatever. I thought that was pretty cool, but that's just like on the technical side. I think as far as it being a part of the story, I'd go along with the groaning. But I like the song just on its own.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of the traitor troll? What was his name?
Oh, the traitor troll? I think that they kind of missed out on
Oh, Russell
him.
Brand?
Creek,
yeah. Creek was the guy. But you notice at the beginning of the movie, she had the crush on Creek.
Right.
But they didn't really like...
That needed to be way more.
That needed to be way more. And yeah. There needed to be way more of a... I mean, it was a backstabber, like, ending of what he did, obviously. But it didn't have as much of a personal connection
right.
with her story as it could have.
He didn't...
it already was a stab in the back because I just spent my whole time trying to save you, and now you're right. trying to just kill us. Thank you very much. But it's on top of that... I loved you. Yeah. I had a crush on you, you know.
They didn't spend any time to be like, you like this guy. Like, this is a troll that you like, and you like the yeah. fact that Poppy likes him. Like, it wasn't like a Hans thing. It was like...
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, I don't care that this guy's a bad guy. Like, it doesn't surprise me that much.
Right, right. mm-hmm.
Well, and it just seemed totally ridiculous that she believed that he would still be alive. Like, there's yeah. optimistic thinking, and then there's like, come on.
And that's a very important detail because it like the whole movie would hinge on that. Sure. Yeah. Hope you're alive.
But I don't know. We don't want to come off as too down on it because I really did feel like it was just a positive, happy, nice little movie. I did enjoy it. I really did.
Mm-hmm. And it's like very like since we brought up Ice Age, like it's a very competent movie, which yes. is like you think should be a given, but like there have been movies this year that like they can barely function as a movie just like in terms uh-huh. of like a story watching a story like this it's very competent and like the pacing is fine enough and it moves along yeah. and it's a movie you're like okay I know who these characters are I know what's happening so I mean hey it's a movie good job
they did it
not everyone can say that I'm looking at you, Norm of the North. There are rules to making, to telling a story.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There are rules.
Well, I agree. And like I said in the beginning, I have heard so many people that were just like, I loved this movie. I really liked it. I thought this was great. And I really believe that us being, having... seen so many movies for the purpose of critiquing, I've found myself being way more jaded than I probably should be, or slash the average Joe or Jane. And I feel like that is probably one of my own issues.
Yeah.
I just can never be satisfied. Never be satisfied.
Spoilers for Hamilton.
Yay, Hamilton. So... I feel like that was, I don't want anybody that listens to this episode to think that we were so down on it. Like, oh my gosh, I loved that movie. Like, no, I got a lot of good things out of this movie. As far as rating it, I give it 3 stars. I think it is fun, but I also don't think that it'll totally hold up over time just because while I was watching this, I was also thinking about how much I really liked Moana because I saw a press screening for Moana before I saw this, and so it really lowered my expectations. I was like, dang it. But shout out to our Moana episode. But I just think that this is, it's fun. Over time, it's probably not going to be completely relevant, so see it fast while it still is. Mm-hmm. But I think that you will come out of this having enjoyed it. Kids for sure will come out of this having enjoyed it. And so with that, you know, as a parent or an aunt slash uncle slash whoever wanting to take a kid to a movie and get something out of it themselves, I give it 3 stars and it's definitely something that you'll enjoy.
I also give it 3 stars. I would have given it 2.5 after, but then seeing it a second time and hearing that sort of nugget of why she's optimistic, that made me kind of give it a little bit of an up. So yeah, 3 stars. I think it's really positive. I think it's really a fun movie for kids. I think they'll love it. And yeah, so overall enjoyed it, even with some problems, even though it was hit and miss in a lot of categories for me. I still liked it.
Yeah, and when I went into this movie, guys, I was really depressed, and when I came out, I felt great. No, I'm just kidding. But
that says a lot. Say what?
I'm just kidding. I don't have a star rating, but I did a whole review of this movie on my channel if you want to check that out. But yeah, I mean, I would say I liked it.
Well, there you go. All right. And we also had a listener Twitter question or a poll.
So thoughts on Trolls. And my four options were fun, happy flick, decent for kids, meh, and hated the annoying trolls. And so far we have 29% for fun, happy flick, 29% for decent for kids, 29% for meh, and 13% for hated the annoying trolls.
How much for that last one?
13.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah. So there you go. I'd be in probably the decent for kids.
Was that A?
Yeah.
Fun, happy flick.
Yeah, fun, happy
decent
flick.
For kids.
That was one. That's probably what I'd go with.
Uh-huh. I'd go
fun,
with that
happy
too.
Flick.
All right, and we do have voicemails. We'll listen to Daniel first.
Good whatever time of day it is, rotoscopers. This is Daniel calling in once again. Now, I haven't seen the Trolls movie yet, but if I do, I'll probably just rent it on pay-per-view when it comes out or something like that. And it's mainly because the ads I've been seeing are a little too cutesy and diabetically sweet for my taste. That, and it's obviously trying to do what the Lego movie did with it being based off of a line of toys. And honestly, I think films like the Lego movie are those rare diamonds in the rough. But that being said, if you guys think it's better than what it's been presenting itself as in the ads, then maybe I'll reconsider it. Of course, I'll reconsider it even more if they play a certain song at one point. Guys, at any point in the movie, do the trolls sing this particular troll-related song?
Yep, I knew it.
Oh my gosh, was that what I think it is? Is that the
I think it's just called like the troll song.
I don't know that song.
It's very like internet meme-y. It's like trollololo, like people play it like when they troll someone. It's almost like a Rickroll, but it's like trolled. I don't think it's really from something, but it's like this old like 1940s. I'll send a link.
Okay, awesome.
Okay. Basically, it's the theme song of internet trolls everywhere.
Okay.
I think we can all agree, as far as his first point, this movie is better than the trailers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll give him that for sure.
Definitely.
Thank you, Daniel. And no, they do not play that song. But I'm so glad that you opened up our minds to what this is.
I linked a video for you guys so you can check out the song.
Okay. Cool. We'll put that in the show notes as well. All right. Our next one is from Joshua K. Let's see what Joshua K has to say.
A.
Hi, my name's Josh K. You might remember me back when you were doing the mailbag section, and now I'm doing voicemails for you guys. So, Trolls. Man, this movie looks bad. This movie looks like everything that's wrong with DreamWorks just rolled into one. Like, pop culture references done badly. Celebrity voice actors, they can't actually act, really. I mean, Justin Timberlake, man, he looks like he's an awful actor. Like, he feels like he's just, like, doing these in his sleep. I mean, the animation, they're trying to go for, like, a more cartoony style, I guess, but it's really not working. It's not. And the story just feels predictable. They literally showed the big climax in one of the trailers in theaters. So yeah, I don't like this movie, but I can't wait to see what you guys think. See you then.
Ooh, Joshua K.
Joshua's down.
It's an absolute roasting.
It's incredible it did as well as it did. I mean, those trailers were pretty bad.
The trailers were really bad. And that's the thing. Like, I will first say I enjoyed it way more than the trailers. So
yeah, me too.
And we can also say that Justin Timberlake he's not that bad.
He's not. He's not. So
he's actually pretty good.
Academy Award nominated actor.
Yeah, Grammy winner.
Yeah. he's not that bad.
No, let's move on to Mystery Man.
Hi, Rotoscopers. It's Mystery Man again, and I just saw Trolls. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. It had a great message, like about overeating, which I was really surprised by that. It was pretty relatable, actually, the message. But I hated the pop songs they kept playing. It really takes you out of the movie when you start hearing, like, Hello Darkness. But other than that, I really enjoyed the movie. I found it pretty fun and even a little touching. I'd probably give it about 3 stars. So thank you. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Aw, okay.
I might be forgetting something. What's the overeating?
Is it just that not the food doesn't give you joy or something?
My mind didn't even go to that.
Me either.
I didn't either. So Mystery Man, thank you for opening up our eyes.
It just shows, isn't that interesting how the exact same thing people can just take night and day different messages from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Well, thank you so much for your voicemails on Trolls. We do have one more, and this is from Christian. And this is non-Trolls related, but podcast related.
Hey, Morgan, Mason, and Chelsea. So I've been listening to your podcast for 2 years now, and I remember when I first heard of podcasts, I was like, I wonder if they have an animation podcast. And there was the Rotoscopers, and I've been listening to it ever since, and I love your podcast. Whenever a new episode is out, I listen to it. And I just wanted to say thank you for putting together something that I love. And I have to say, one of my favorite episodes is the Lord of the Rings episode. Every time you say Peter Jackson and the song comes on, people thought I was crazy when I was listening to that because I was laughing uncontrollably. And I just wanted to say thank you for putting together a podcast that I love. Mason, you're my favorite. Well, I shouldn't say that, but you're hilarious and your comedy is my favorite because it's like the SpongeBob quotes and all the quotes. It's too good. Chelsea, it's pretty amazing that you're doing all this stuff now, the world traveler. And Morgan, congratulations on your baby. Anyways, thank you guys. Love you. This is Christian. Goodbye.
Aww.
Very sweet.
Very sweet. Nice. Thanks, Christian.
I do think it's a shame that Mason had to miss this one because I think he would have loved this because he just likes things that are really happy and positive.
Did he? I mean, did he see the movie?
I have not asked. He's been super busy, so I haven't been able to talk to him about it, but it's okay. I mean, Christian, that you think that Mason's your favorite. Mason is basically everyone's favorite, and he really is one of the funniest guys I know, so yeah. It's always a blast to just hang out with him on the podcast, and it's been funny, like the fact that you really like the Lord of the Rings episode, that was the lowest I have rated any movie ever. I'm glad that you appreciated the Peter Jackson reference in the music in there. Cause I try that's where my funny stuff comes through. I think I'm not as like quotable. I'm not the quoter, but I like editing some funny things in there every once in a while. So thank you so much. Well, this has been a good show, though. I am so glad to have both of you guys here. I felt like there were a lot of things that we went through and just had a good old time. Lots of really great tangents, as I hoped.
Yeah, it was really fun. I enjoyed talking to both of you as well.
It was great to be
Thank
here.
Thank you for having me on.
For sure. So if you have any questions or if you want to have a direct link to this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/135 and make sure to put your comments on there. Leave your reviews, thoughts, and opinions. Also, if you're wanting to tweet about this episode, you're going to use... We would love it if you would use the hashtag AnimAddicts or AnimAddicts135. And then also for our voicemails, thank you so much for all of those who've sent in voicemails. Definitely, if you're wanting to support us, you can go to our Patreon, rotoscopers.com/Patreon, and also the Rotoscopers store. We still have a few t-shirts for sale, so check that out. And as far as our other hosts, where can our wonderful fans find you too?
You can find me at Rachel's Reviews on YouTube and on my website, on my blog, 54DisneyReviews.com. And at social media, I'm at SmilingLDSGirl. So I'd love to talk with you guys.
And for me, just type trash can into a Google image search and should be the first or second one. No, you can just find me at LooTunes on Twitter and everywhere. And cartoons and stuff.
And stuff. Both of these guys are really fun to follow. If you've been following us, you should definitely be following them as well. I know we do. You can find me. My name is Chelsea Robson on Twitter, my website, Instagram, and Snapchat. That's Chelsea M. Robson because I was too late in getting my stupid screen name. Wah, wah. But you can also find Morgan on Twitter, Morgan Stradling, and then Mason at animatedlife.blogspot.com and Instagram. He no longer has a Twitter, so he has moved on. But next episode, guys, we are going with Moana. And so we are really excited. I will have two new podcast co-hosts with me. So I really wanted to thank so much once again Rachel and Chad for joining me today, because they not only did they set aside one night, they actually set aside two nights to be able to do this. And the internet trolls tried to take us down, but they were so wonderful in being able to reschedule and be able to make this podcast happen. So thank you guys one more time.
Anytime.
Anytime. I would just like to say you're welcome. Segue to the next episode.
Segue. Awesome. Until next time.
We are
the Rotoscopers. Perfect. Thanks. Yeah, I'll say it together, okay?
We're supposed to say it?
Yeah, come on, say it. If you are on this episode, it means that you are today a Rotoscoper.
Can I get a laminated card sent in the mail or something?
Business card. I want a business card.
You can get a personalized tweet.
Okay.
So it goes, until next time, we are the Rotoscopers.
Oh, just the Rotoscopers or the whole? Sorry.
We are the Rotoscopers.
Okay. All right.
So until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers.
We are the Rotoscopers.
Sorry, it's hard when you can't see them.
Shall we try this one more time? Okay. Do we want to try? All right, 1, 2, 3.
We're just starting with that.
Sorry, no. Sorry, I'll try it again, but perfectly. All right, guys. Until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers. How slow are we saying? I don't know if I'm meant for this kind of thing.
This is too much pressure.
A little improv there. Went off the script. Went a little rogue.
You went rogue. Well, that is what we call that.
Print it.